With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars Hyper Chat Episode 5. We are sweltering, live streaming, and talking Star Wars live in beautiful, the home of show business, Hollywood, California. We are here. We're showing the business right now.
Oh, God.
Wait a minute. What I signed up for.
And
leaving. There we go.
We have got, business is good. Business is good. Trust me. All right. It's all right. We're in Hollywood, not in Van Nuys. It's going to be okay.
I live there. That's true.
Hey, I've had some very good stickers printed in Van Nuys, right? So I admire their adhesive skills. They are a great community of sticker manufacturers, and we hope they thrive and continue to produce sticker goods for idiot fans the worldwide. Van Nuys, come for the stickers.
Non-spawn.
Yes, but our guest today, two of my favorite podcasters are joining me to talk quite a week in Star Wars news. And I'm impressed. I don't know if you could go look at Lucasfilm history, but this could be the sweetest 8 days of news that they have produced from the Clone Wars panel at Comic-Con to the cast announcement on last Friday. So we've got some very exciting things to discuss from the Who Talks First podcast by the Knights of Rant.
Hi.
It is Courtney Everett. Welcome back.
Hi, guys. I'm excited to be back.
Nice. You're our first return guest.
Am I really?
Yeah.
That's so exciting for me.
Yeah. Even producer Rashad, he's not even returning this week. So so that's how much we like you.
Yes.
Or lowly we think of Rashad. But he's actually he's visiting his mother.
He's allowed to do that.
I don't know. I feel like we're his family now.
That I guess that's true.
And this show is his child.
Mm-hmm.
And he should be here to nurture it with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's abandoned it.
And our other guest, the Lattes with Leia podcast, Amy Ratcliffe. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Me
You're very
too.
Busy. You are... I admire how busy you are. You got to do a panel at Comic-Con. We'll talk about another panel later on, but about your book, give that a bit of light sizzle.
Yeah, I was on my first ever author panel, which was pretty surreal on a lot of levels. It was the Lucasfilm publishing panel, and I just felt completely outclassed, out of place, fangirling
Come
the
on.
Whole time. Timothy Zahn over, I don't know, it was surreal, but it was pretty cool.
I like it. I imagine that you're someone that maybe, I know, maybe you get to places on time, but I like the thought that you were
not
like...
Not tonight, but generally.
Yeah. I like the thought that you were waiting to get in a publishing panel another year at Comic-Con. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's too full.
Yes.
And now you're on the stage. That's so cool.
That's so exciting.
That was pretty neat.
And it's Women of the Galaxy?
Oh, yeah. I got to work on that part.
You've got a few months. This can be the training. This is Sizzle 101.
I wrote a book called Star Wars, Women of the Galaxy, featuring 75 amazing female characters from the films, comics, books, games, and it has over 100 never before seen, just unique illustrations by 18 different female and non-binary artists, and all kind of in their style. So the art's amazing.
Now, whenever anything's announced in Star Wars, someone has to ask this question. Is it canon? Is Mara Jade in it or not? Own up, Amy.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. And
or I do know, but yeah, I have to wait to find out.
See, you're getting good at the sizzle already at Sizzle 101 yeah. in 1 minute of
in
class.
That mystery box, you know? Oh, keep practicing.
Yeah, the mystery box.
I have till October 30th when the book comes out.
And nice, very nice. And the foreword's written by Kathleen Kennedy.
Yes, it is. I got to announce that at Comic-Con, and it's some of those things when you're like in the project for so long, you're like, what have I said to people that I was, you know?
Yeah.
So getting to announce that is really cool.
Nice. How did that come about? Like, was that something you asked for, something they offered?
She, I guess, was very into the idea of the book from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, and then once she saw a copy and apparently was okay with it, they asked her to do it. And she said yes. And they, meaning my publisher / Lucasfilm / somebody that I'm not positively sure about.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's,
and if you were a very naive viewer of YouTube videos, you'd also be getting like a backup forward by Kevin Feige. Select your YouTube videos carefully, you guys.
I like how the group sigh that yeah. happened there. I was just like, all right.
If your YouTube channel has done nothing but hate Star Wars for 7 months, maybe it's time.
You're the best Star Wars fan, clearly.
I posted this meme. I don't, but it's the first time I've ever seen it. It's of a guy juggling things, and he was they'd like photoshopped in all the things coming next year in Star Wars, mm-hmm. and there was like you know, the stream, you know, Resistance and Celebration and Episode 9 and Clone Wars. There was other things. He was juggling a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. and I sort of saw it and was like, well, if one of those things that guy's about to drop doesn't really excite you at this point, like, maybe just call it a day. Just watch
and
the
none of those things. Yeah.
If the just stick to the original trilogy VHSs and
live your life.
Have fun with it.
It's really easy, guys. It's so
just
easy.
To not engage with the things you don't like.
Yeah.
What? It's tough.
That's an option.
It is. It's quite a skill, I must say.
Now,
not doing anything.
I like to review the tweets of the week that will drive the show. But first we should say that people can call in to talk to us on 646-668-8360. We've got Jared from podcast 2187. He's producing tonight. He's going to overthrow our previous producer. But Jared, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good.
And we've got graphics tonight. So, like, for regular viewers, the people think that you are a magician. You're a wizard of the graphics, that when when you came, the graphics came with you.
It's true. I mean, I do feel like bad luck is somehow going to end up getting me notoriety, which it works.
Okay, nice. So that number's on the screen. And we've got a bunch of people on hold already. So I look forward to chatting to them about the week's news. And also, if you're watching live on YouTube, the chat room is monitored by our chat room reporter, Emily Lind, who's got a helicopter over the chat room as we speak. Emily, how are things looking down there?
Things are looking good. We've got a lot of people in there. Everybody seems excited for the show.
Nice. And how are we sounding? How are we looking? Not like that, Courtney. Oh my God. Okay, don't worry about it. You haven't opened with a complaint how we sound, so I assume it's working reasonably well.
Oh no. I think we'll talk about this,
so
I'm just starting to break up a little bit.
Okay, well, that's very exciting. Courtney wants things to go badly.
Keep you on your toes, you know?
Dude, my toes are sore. I'm borrowing my cat's paws. Emily, if people want to write questions or comments in the chat room, we'll get Emily to report back on that later on in the show. I love to love the Twitter, all over it. That's my Star Wars place of business. That's where I like to like chat Star Wars and see what's going on. So we run through some of the top tweets of the week. And, of course, we had the huge news over Comic-Con and the following week that both the Clone Wars was coming back and we had a Star Wars Episode 9 cast announcement. So I figured we would poll the audience after all the Star Wars news this week. I am most hyped on, and 2%. Said new collectibles, at Comic-Con. 8% said new publishing at Comic-Con. Amy, I'm glad you voted.
Yeah, at least one of those percentages. And my five other accounts.
2% said new cast, and very surprisingly to me, to my sensibilities, 48% said they were most excited about the new Clone Wars episode.
Woo! Woo!
And so I love polls on Twitter because I think they're the true voice of the people. You have to have an account. You can only vote once. Anyone can vote.
Unless so, you're like me and have 7 Twitters.
Oh, you do have. I never know who to tag.
That's the point.
She's given me 14 different phone numbers. It's very hard. Courtney, which
because
one?
She comes here, so you can find her all the time.
I know. It's...
I got bangs from last time, though, so I'm different. Enigma.
All right. The Enigma Courtney. Yes. Which one did you vote for?
Okay, I don't remember, but I'm going to... I think I voted for new cast because I work in the animation industry, so I've known about Clone Wars for about like 5 months now. So... I am very, very excited, but
it's not new.
It wasn't like news. I was very, very excited at the time, but it wasn't like big news. I was more just like sitting in my seat for everyone to like find out.
That was the most awkward humble brag ever. Like you were sort of bragging about it, but you were not happy about having to do it.
But it's true. I would have said Clone Wars because I don't want to sound hypocritical because like Clone Wars is my all-time favorite Star Wars thing. Like in all the Star Wars things, Clone Wars is my favorite.
Of all the things that guy's juggling.
Of all the things that guy's juggling, I love Clone Wars. And so I didn't want to sound like, well.
Whatever.
Well, like, no, I'm really excited about it, but that's the industry I work in. So I know people who work on it, so it kind of came through the grapevine.
What was that?
And I'm a master of voice. Also, hire me for animated TV shows, I guess.
I would just hire her for her ability to keep a secret.
I could do that because I want them to hire me.
Now, Amy, eventually. you're in a very strange position with this poll because obviously you love new Star Wars films.
Yes.
But you're involved in the new publishing and you were hosting the panel that announced the new Clone Wars. So I'm very curious at which one you are going to vote for.
This is not even a question. It's Clone Wars. Because like Courtney, that is like my Star Wars. That is so the good. Thing I love most. In all of Star Wars.
All right, here we go. There's 12 episodes of the Clone Wars, right? You like, there's too many things to juggle. Do you know what I mean? There's new laws. You can only juggle one thing. You've got to burn everything else. So you've got the 12 episodes of the Clone Wars or the proof edition of your book.
Oh, why would you do that to me?
Because it's fun.
Because it's fun. You know what? Oh.
No, I want to say, it's your book. Let it be your book.
I'm like, oh, but Clone Wars. And then nobody will, well, no, that's not true. People will still find a reason to give me shit on the internet. So
no matter what. I'll be like, let her have her book. I mean, we did get a lot of Clone Wars. I'm very excited we're getting more.
That's true.
But
thanks, Courtney. You're talking
to me. All right, you can have your book. Okay, I put away the lighter and the kerosene. I do have to say, when people, we talked about this on the bonus show last week, if at the end of these 12 episodes, guys, and you want the Clone Wars to come back, this is a new age. No petitions necessary. No campaigns. Just watch those episodes over and over. That's the new voting process, is paying for the streaming service and watching those shows. Mm-hmm. And that's the graph doesn't lie. If the graph's super high, the graph will continue.
What I do find, I mean, I could be totally wrong about this because I'm not super Twitter savvy, despite having 7 Twitters, is that I haven't seen a lot of people, like, I haven't seen anyone complaining about the Disney streaming service. And I'm fine with the Disney streaming service because, like, the only thing I intake is, like, Disney stuff. So I'm like, yeah,
that's just the gift.
But you're one of those streaming tolerant types, do you know what I mean? Like,
I am, I guess. What can I say? But I am like, well, because like with the announcement of like Titans, not to take it too much away from Star Wars, but everyone I saw was complaining about the DC streaming service. But meanwhile, for Clone Wars and the Disney streaming service, I didn't see that same sort of backlash. People were like, all right, I'll get it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, they had me from there. Like, Disney streaming service. I'm like, here you go.
Yep. I was like, done.
Yeah. Didn't even get to the second syllable.
No.
Bobby I. He just, like, says Diz.
Yep.
Yep. I'm like, in.
Now, our next tweet is from you, Amy Ratcliffe, at Amy_geek. This picture is from the panel, pretty much captures my emotions about Clone Wars Saved. And it is a Jeremiah Good. He was in the right place at the right time to capture you guys watching in wonderment. It's Ashley Eckstein, Dave Filoni, and you watching the screen. And Amy, bless your hands clasped together.
That's so precious.
I was so excited. That's what I retweeted with, like, when you wish upon a clone war or something. It was so sweet. True. Now, you didn't know that this clip was going to get played.
No.
How did you think the it's going to end?
I had a whole show flow from Lucasfilm PR, and the ending just said, we're going to play a sizzle reel. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. They have a lot of material to work with. Kevin Yost is a great editor. He makes all those great trailers. They're going to make something beautiful, emotional. We're all going to cry. The end. And I didn't even question it. I was like, huh, cool. That'll be cool. And then even when it started, I thought the first part, until it got to the words, I was like, wow, they made something new for the sizzle reel. Like, that's a lot of work, but okay, maybe they just really wanted to give something new to the fans.
It's a good sizzle.
It is a good, yeah.
Love a good sizzle. The it's interesting to watch back and with the audience reactions, the gradual acceptance.
Like realization?
Yeah, and just like people like going, do you think, what, huh?
All
huh?
of that. Like, yeah. Is this? No. Unfinished? What does that mean? What? Huh? And I didn't know until, like, after they showed the sizzle reel, the trailer for the first time, like, I don't remember the rest of that panel.
You blacked out.
I did. And I didn't realize until I watched your video of it, Steele. I was like, I'm going to watch this to see how that actually, I vaguely remember Matt Lanter, like, getting, like, I'm like, oh, that's what happened.
Yeah. I like
did
you.
I talk?
They show the preview and then you black out and then 3 days later you wake up in Dave Filoni's bathtub in the hotel missing a heart.
Yes,
pretty accurate.
So the weird thing about it was I'm not like super Clone Wars. Like I, you know, watched them, enjoyed them. Of course, you know, Shark People, it rocked me. It rocked me. But I came back and I very much enjoyed the conclusion, but I don't have that eye for like what's new and what's old. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of just watching our friend Corey, who's like diehard Clone Wars. I was just sort of watching his face for a reaction of like, if that's new or not, do you know what I mean? So, but what a special moment captured there.
Yeah. And bless Jeremiah, he was in the publishing panel audience and caught me afterwards. He's like, hey, I have these pictures. Is there a way for me to get them to you? I was like,
oh, that's so nice.
Yes. And so I'm like, yes, please. That was just really sweet of him.
Nice. It's such a, yeah, quite a Comic-Con, Amy.
It was a whirlwind. I can't believe it feels like it was yesterday.
Oh, it feels like I don't know if it was a long time ago or yeah, this morning. It's one of those weird things.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird things.
Yeah, either do I, right, guys? It must feel so recent. I was totally there.
I feel like Courtney's having technical difficulties now, which is the way I'd like it. How about this one, Jared, at Star Wars Friday afternoon, meet the cast of Star Wars Episode 9, beginning filming next week, which I assume they refer to principal photography because I think there's some second unit stuff that people have been murmuring about. That linked to a sweet press release that I have to say, I wasn't ready for the announcement and I wasn't ready for the light stepping way that I strutted about West Hollywood Friday afternoon. I was like, have you seen, like, I think it's like, is it Saturday Night Fever or Staying Alive, where at the start John Travolta's just like walking the streets?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was me. I was so relieved that I didn't have to wonder about these things for 18 months.
Yeah, me too.
Like, a lot of them I thought was happening, but I was just, I was so relieved. And to get the, we'll go through the press release in case, just for, I don't know, time's history's sake, for the people listening in 3012. Star Wars Episode 9 will begin filming at London's Pinewood Studios on August 1st, 2018. J.J. Abrams returns to direct the final installment of the Skywalker saga. Abrams co-wrote the screenplay with Chris Terrio. Returning cast members include Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Lupita Nyong'o, Domhnall Gleeson, Kelly Marie Tran, Jonas Sutamo. Some of these names I still haven't got down. Billy Lord. Yes. Joining the cast are Naomi Ackie, Richard E. Grant, and Kerry Russell, who, of course, was left off the original announcement. That harkened back to that great episode of Felicity where she was left off the Phantom Menace cast announcement.
Well, so was Adam Driver. They, at least in the Star Wars show, they didn't announce him. They re-uploaded the Star Wars show because they didn't forgot Adam Driver. I'm like, oh my god, because I mean, I'll mention it in every 3 minutes. I think Kylo's a good guy, not like a good guy, but like I like him as a character. And so when I was watching the Star Wars show announcement, and they skipped over him, and I was like, what?
My good guy. My good guy.
He's like, my good boy.
My good boy.
Sorry, not to interrupt, but you were right, Kerry Russell.
And they will be joined by veteran Star Wars actors Mark Hamill.
Yay!
Woo!
Anthony Daniels and Billy Dee Williams, who will reprise his role of Lando Calrissian. Now, this paragraph to me is epic. But then, it's just a setup for this one.
It's better.
And the next paragraph was written, I believe, by Courtney Everett.
I was the one who told him
this. The role of Leia Organa will again be played by Carrie Fisher, using previously unreleased footage shot for Star Wars The Force Awakens. We desperately love Carrie Fisher, says Abrams. Finding a truly satisfying conclusion to the Skywalker saga without her eluded us. We were never going to recast or use a CG character, and with the support and blessing from her daughter Billy, we have found a way to honor Carrie's legacy and role as Leia in Episode 9 by using unseen footage we'd shot together in Episode 7. And then it goes on to John Williams is back, Kathleen Kennedy, J.J. Abrams, and literally all the crew. No mention of details as yet, but we will await that for the next cast announcements. Hey, if you wanted to chat about something in the cast announcements, I think you either press 0 or 1 and it will come up with a little call. But let's go to 619. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi, Steele. This is Paul from San Diego.
Hey, Paul. What's going on, man?
Doing good. By the way, thank you for giving me a pass for the Sunday after the event we had on Saturday night.
Oh, okay. Well, all my benevolent actions that might void future invitations to conventions will be edited out of the show. But I'm glad you got to go, Paul. What's going on, man? What did you make of this cast announcement?
I really like that they killed the surprise and they announced Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher back for Episode 9. So that there won't be like I don't know, millions of YouTube videos that are going to be uploaded between now and December, so that that won't happen anymore.
Yeah, I think that'll still happen.
They'll
find another topic. It's going to be a lot of fun to debate if Naomi is playing Finn's sister or Billy Dee Williams' daughter. It's
clearly
your bets.
One of the two.
Yeah. We're going to find out. It's a full. They're a whole family. It's going to work out.
No,
they're all related. They're all related. I totally poll. I had it. I was very confident that Mark Hamill would be returning as Luke Skywalker, but I was kind of dreading if it was going to be a secret.
Me too.
I'm sort of just like, let's like save Hayden Christensen's Force Ghost as a secret.
I hope so.
And just let us know that Luke Skywalker's there. Like, and especially with people that were disappointed that, you know, the way he ended in The Last Jedi, I think it's good for everyone to know that, like, he's going to be back. He's going to be doing more stuff. Do you know what I mean? It might, you know, like, sometimes seeing how the story concludes, like, makes you appreciate, like, the middle chapter
like
a little
bit. Like,
the
journey to get there.
Yeah, yeah. And the, you know, who knows? He might do some amazing thing as a Force ghost that he wouldn't have been able to do as a flesh and bone Skywalker.
Yeah. I mean, Yoda could do, like, control the weather when in his Force ghost.
He just calls down lightning like he's Thor.
I know.
Yep.
Like a little green Halle Berry. Yeah.
Yes.
The frog thing then is still relevant. Toad? Wasn't that a, like, X-Men line from Storm? Like, it was bad, like... What does a toad look like when it's hit by lightning? Like everything else, it's bad.
Yeah, and that was
and
Ray.
That was a bad.
That was Ray Park.
Copy of it. Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it's all connected.
Oh, it is all connected. Let's get
conspiracy.
Get Mike Klimo on the line immediately. We've got an X-Men ring theory going on right now.
Let's make that YouTube video.
Courtney, I'm sorry, your microphone might be a bit far away.
I'm doing that awful thing. I'm sorry.
It's
too casual.
So was the Mark Hamill announcement poll, that was what was getting you amped up the most?
And I really like, can't wait for Amy's book to be released. I'm going to pre-order it right now.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Nice.
Oh, you're welcome.
I know about Mara Jade because she's not telling me anything, right?
Yeah. And I like that we had that on Saturday night of Comic-Con. I really like that we had that Vanessa Marshall holding court thing.
Yeah.
She was there for the meet that you organized for like an hour and a half or something like that.
Yeah, that was super cool. And thanks for coming along, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you.
I'll bang you back on hold, and I'll talk to you next episode.
Okay.
Cheers,
okay,
man.
I'll be on mute.
So, cheers. Yeah, we did a bit of a podcaster, listener meet and greet, get-together at Comic-Con, and it was really cool. We had Jared was there hanging out, and tons of really fun people.
I was sad that I missed it, but also I was glad to leave San Diego Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you had such a bad time down there. I can't imagine why.
But I was like, no, I gotta go.
Gotta get out of there. It was weird that Vanessa Marshall was there, because every time I'd hear her talk,
where's?
Yeah, I felt like Rebels must have been on a TV or something, because all those bars have so many televisions. So all playing that Ninja Warrior show. That is a very popular in-bar program, I have noticed. But I don't know what's going on. If anyone else wants to chime in about the cast announcements, I think you just press 1 on your touch tone. A little logo will come up. With the repurposing of this footage from The Force Awakens. Now, Courtney, when you were on the show last, that was the scenario you exactly wanted.
It is.
How did that news hit you, buddy?
Thank you for making this happen.
I feel like I made it happen. I mean, like, clearly my ideal scenario is Carrie being here, but like, I this is exactly how I wanted it played out. And I know JJ, he just shoots so much extra footage, and he shoots a bunch of fake footage to try to trick people, because he's so much about that, like, mystery box. I just felt like that was the... Because I want to keep her present. And, I mean, needless to say, this doesn't say whether she'll survive the movie or not, but it really just gives her the opportunity to stay present in the movie, and she won't have this really prominent role, more than likely, because they can't really control it. But at least they can keep her around so we can have this bonus material, perhaps in the future, that would have been what maybe they wanted to include in the movie, but they couldn't. So we'll maybe get books or comics and stuff like that. I just really didn't want to see her pass before the movie happened, you know? And so I'm really excited that this is the route they took, because it's a, and like that Billy approves of it. And I think Todd even came out and said, he was like, yeah, great. And
Todd is, he could take some lessons from you about secrets.
Really?
Because I think like he announced that they were going to use repurposed footage like months ago. And then Lucasfilm,
maybe that's where I got it from.
And then like Lucasfilm went, no, we don't know about that. Yeah. But I think in my, from piecing together the timeline, it seems like that they were like, well, maybe this is a route we could go. Mm-hmm. And then they went to the family and said, if we went this route, would you be okay? And when they said yes, I feel like a sort of the logical thing was like, then they watched the extra footage and sort of went, oh, we can, like they could get, we can do something with this. And that's why they sort of announced it now.
Yeah. And I also, I really like, I mean, who knows what extra footage was shot, but I like Leia's headspace in The Force Awakens. And so it's interesting that they didn't say like 7 and 8, that they're just specifically at 7. And like a funny side story, I was at Disneyland a couple days ago and I was at Schmoozie's and California Adventure. And the girl in front of me was
Where were you?
Schmoozie's.
Okay.
Getting a smoothie at Smoothies.
And also, I was there a couple days ago. Were
you? Were you there Saturday?
Saturday night.
Yeah, I was there Saturday.
I follow Amy on Instagram. I want her to let me know when she's not at Disneyland.
That's a better way to play that.
Yeah, just always assume at Disneyland. But the girl in front of me in line was just, I just like, my ears perked up when she said episode 7. And I was like, oh, this is talking about Star Wars. And she's like loudly talking about, she's like, oh yeah, I've been working on this footage for months now. It's been like 2 months and we're just like working on how it can be seamlessly added. I'm like,
well, I just want to be like, keep talking. I'm just going to follow you around the park.
I know, right? She disappeared. I'm like, I'm still waiting for my smoothie. But it was just really interesting to hear her talk about it, that they're like, yeah, it's really difficult to try to make it look seamless, but we've been testing out a bunch of different methods. And it was really interesting. And it had already been announced by then.
Yeah.
So she wasn't like breaking any rules.
Right.
But it was just interesting how loud she was about it.
Yeah. That is, you never know what you hear in a line in Disneyland.
No. You never know, man.
You never know.
It can go so many ways.
Yep. You
never know. But I, like, there's that footage, because there was so much stuff reshot in The Force Awakens. Like, there's that scene that we saw in the trailer of Maz handing the lightsaber to Leia.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lupita's back, so, you know, that could be interesting. I
figure out a way to do that.
Maz, as much as, my worst part of The Force Awakens, I mean, The Last Jedi, is Maz Kanata. That's the one I'm just like, it's baffling. Like I felt like I was, I went on Star Tours for the first time post the Last Jedi, and I liked her scene in there better. Oh, very similar.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I hope she gets more.
But yeah, maybe like just the fact that she's in that scene originally, you know, maybe that will sort of like, cause I like, it sucks the situation, but I am fascinated with the puzzle piece of like, we want to tell this story. We've got these clips. We need to work like that. I don't know. Yeah. That interests me for some reason.
No,
like,
it is really interesting to see how the story will be affected by what they had. Yeah. Right.
That'd be interesting to see after they talk about like, well, maybe we were going to do this, but mm-hmm. once we had this footage and knew the ins and outs.
Oh, and we've got the Hypercats here, everyone.
Jerry has something to say.
Jerry's just jumped up, the little podcast kitty, the content kitty.
What do you think about Leia, Jerry? Yeah, she's pretty great.
Same.
Oh, hi, buddy.
I think Jerry, actually, his connection to Carrie Fisher is he once tried to eat a bit of tinsel that Carrie Fisher dropped in my wife's glass of wine. So there you go. It's all connected.
That's the dream.
It is all connected. Hey, let's go to another call about these cast announcements. Let's go to 614. Who are you and where are you calling from? All right, I'm going to put you back on hold. If you heard a beep, that was probably you. Let's go to 202. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey guys, this is Swara calling from DC.
Swara, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just life is super busy, but really great to talk with y'all tonight. And it's so great to see two of my favorite podcasters, Amy and CT, on with another one of my favorite podcasters, Steele.
I thought I was gonna get gatekept there.
He's gonna say his favorite podcaster, Jerry.
Yeah. we're chiming in about the. Oh wait, sorry. First, I get to say, relatively in person, congratulations, Amy, on Woman of the Galaxy.
Thank you.
Can't wait to read it, to pre-order it. It's going to be amazing, and I can't think of anyone more deserving, seriously.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
I suggest pre-ordering it before reading it. That's just, I don't want to correct
it's
you too much.
It's a good order to go
do
in.
It in that order as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I'm extremely excited about the episode 9 announcement. Steele, I think in your poll, I voted for that as my top thing I'm excited about. I'm a sequel trilogy stan. It's my favorite content that we're getting. I think both The Force Awakens and Last Jedi are incredible. So I'm extremely excited about all the returning cast to episode 9, particularly Kelly Marie Tran, because I think there was some doubt in the fandom about whether she'd actually come back. And thank God she did, along with Naomi Ackie and Richard E. Grant, both fantastic actors. But in general, like, this is a super diverse cast. You know, hashtag SW Rep Matters. Y'all should check that hashtag out on Twitter.
Oh my God, he talks like and, he tweets.
Wonderful.
What else do you have to say at Swara?
But
hashtag continue.
So yeah, I'm really excited about that. I do have some questions for the panel here, though. I'm curious as to your thoughts of what Kylo Ren's haircut will be in episode 9.
How dare you?
I feel like this is a
I can't get away from chat, man.
I'm totally joking, CT. I'm sorry. Actually, I do.
This is the listener call-in line, not the troll call-in line.
I'm sorry. I just like I love to tease. Y'all know this about me.
What about speaking of Swara? Boy, Jaeger's hair.
Oh yeah.
With the
I love his
like
hair.
The plaits or the braids or whatever. That looks sick.
Yeah.
Like I'm just thinking like Hasbro 6, like you know, like Black Series braids. Like that's gonna look sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Continue. Hashtag continue. Hashtag sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Hashtag make Kylo ball though. Anyway. I'm sorry. I'm torturing CT right now. Sorry. Anyway, I have a legit question. So I have a kind of theory about the end of the sequel trilogy and the end of episode 9 about how the galactic conflict might get resolved. I'm really curious for y'all's thoughts. I have a feeling that the structure of, now this is kind of a nerdy, this is a Star Wars podcast, of course it's nerdy, sort of really nerdy question, but my theory is that after decades and decades of like galactic and then imperial and New Republic rule of it being a unified galaxy, that they'll just be like, you know what, screw it, this doesn't work anymore, and they're going to completely do away with this sort of structure, and instead there's going to be no centralized government. It'll instead just be a bunch of like planets ruling themselves, and I don't know, maybe it could make for more storytelling in the future, like feuding states or that sort of thing. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
It's so hard because like so far these movies have not been very political.
Yes.
So it's hard to say that they're really even going to go into it because they haven't so far. I'm not sure if they will in 9 because they haven't touched on it, or if they're just really going to focus more on Force lore and stuff. And that's what their main goal with this new trilogy is. So I actually really like that idea, but I'm just really don't know if they'll
go into the political aspect of it. I'm interested in it for sure, and I want them to, but they really seem to have been avoiding that.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like that's, I'm a big sequel trilogy fan, but I feel like that's not an area it's been lacking, but something they haven't gone into, and it's something I love so much about the Clone Wars and that era is all the politics.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the Bloodline book, it's so rich with all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. And that's my favorite book. It's so good.
So I wonder, like, though, if they could set the stage at least to have stories like that continue in novels or whatever.
Yeah. I guess the theory is that, you know, JJ shied from that just to get it so away from prequels. But to a point where...
Then you're like, who, what, who?
When those five planets blew up, it was like... Who's that lady? What is that, Coruscant? Like it was so unexplained to the layman viewer, Johnny Ticket Buyer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Now, I remember being really excited when the Visual Dictionary came out, period, but also when they had that page, they're like, this is like the state of the galaxy. This is this group. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. You didn't talk about that at all.
Right. I'm like, noted.
Yeah.
It fills my mind now that, like, I love the thought that the ending has been written.
I don't.
Hope, I mean, yes, but also I hope so.
Yes, I do hope so.
Oh, yeah, I do hope that.
Yeah.
But it just makes me sad because I'm like, I'm ready for it to be over in a way because, like, the last 3 years on the internet have been not fun, but at the same time, I'm like, but I'm not ready to leave these characters. I love them so much. I'm not ready.
the fact that they're about to start shooting, I don't know. I sort of, my question is, how do you top the last hour of Return of the Jedi?
Honestly, I don't know, because I cried twice in Star Wars, like watching Star Wars movies, and like sob uncontrollably, and it's always the end of Return of the Jedi when the Force ghosts show up, and then I'm ugly sobbing because they just tried so hard and they succeeded, and it was and the music and everyone just happy and dancing. It's like it's such a beautiful ending.
Yeah, very like touching and poignant.
Because with the political aspect, I'm sorry, I'm hitting the microphone. That's why I'm like, I wonder if they're really going to go into it because
they got other stuff to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's not, the political aspect, it's going to be, there's too much stuff to fill in. Like, you know, people are theorizing that Richard E. Grant is playing Grand Admiral Thrawn. And it's just like, there's no room
to bring him into this.
No.
Yeah.
Like, just whether you should or shouldn't, but there's not enough space. To do that. And yeah, you have to top, like, my thing's like, you have to top the end of Return of the Jedi, like that big conclusion.
Right.
And I would be, I don't know, I'm trying to, like, is it going to be like like people are on galactic missions, like this, like the final thing, you know, there's like a sword fight and all that sort of stuff. But then there's giant, you know, is Lando got like, is on one side of the, like, is it like the whole galaxy is up in all? I would love for everyone to come back, like that, you know, they put out that call.
Yes.
Oh,
and
interesting.
As sort of, I don't know, fan servy as this is, I would be up for a cruiser of Gungans. Lando brings in a freighter of Ewoks. There's just everyone that they've ever encountered through all the cartoons comes in, and it's just, I guess I'm rewriting it. Or with Ewoks,
and like that would be really fun. Like I won't, like I am not sure how that would happen, but that would be unbelievably fun.
And the Resistance needs, like, they are in dire straits as far as we know.
Like, I think the way I see the ending is much more small scale and much more like character based, where you'll have like the main Resistance members. So I mean, Daisy, I guess Rey, Rose, Finn, Poe, Coconix, is that her name?
Coconix,
yeah. Thank you. That group and a small scale battle with someone like the Knights of Ren, just saying. And I think like a really small scale battle where you could really focus on like character triumphs would be really cool. And you can each have their like really like badass moment taking down like this other group of people that are assumingly around the same size, but also bringing in everyone we've ever seen in Star Wars ever that's still alive would be hella fun.
Or a combination of the two.
Or, yeah. That's very
true. Yeah.
I need someone to come in at the last minute and save the day. That's what Star Wars is for me.
Spoilers.
You're all queer kid. That moment of like, we came through.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we came through for our friends. Like that moment. I'm very excited for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like. Like, it has to happen. Someone has to come through, don't they?
No, right? Somebody has to have your back.
Yeah.
Because that was a bit of a bummer in The Last Jedi. Just like,
none of them called back.
Right, they got the, like, on the text, they got the little tick. And then they got the dots like they were going to reply. And then dog.
It just said red.
Then you get the message back, I'm driving right now, reply.
Well, because you know there's going to be a line about why Lando didn't show up. Like, there's going to be an explanation of why Lando wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, he's got some splaining to do, sir.
But it's so exciting. It is so exciting. Hey, Swara.
So exciting.
Thanks so much for coming in, man. You don't have to be a stranger. And let the good people...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Will the internet know about your podcast, mate?
Oh, yeah. You can find my podcast, Beltway Banthas, which covers the intersection of politics and Star Wars. You can find it wherever you get podcasts. We're on Twitter at Beltway Banthas, and we're currently on hiatus, but we'll be back in mid-August.
Nice. Yeah. If you ever need a guest, buddy, you just get at me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sweet, man.
Thanks so much, Steel. Appreciate it.
I will talk to you on the sweet, sweet internet.
Talk to you soon.
See you out there.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's talk a bit of Mark Hamill. Let's go to his tweet. Whenever Mark Hamill tweets, I'm there to listen at Hamill himself. And he posted up three pictures, one of Luke kissing General Leia on the forehead, and then Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher saying hello or goodbye out of a taxi or something. Very late 70s.
Yeah.
And then having memory of our Princess Carrie Fisher, the screenshot from the end credits. And he writes, it's bittersweet facing my final chapter without her. She is simply irreplaceable. I'm finding solace in the fact she won't be replaced and would love the worldwide outpouring of affection from those who loved her when they heard the news. # carry on forever. And I think it's a tough one for Mark to go back and, you know, like he hasn't done a Star Wars film without Carrie Fisher. And it was a bit of a big sister, a bit of a Luke and Leia relationship. Yes. But I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy that he's back. I'm so happy that the Princess Leia is going to be in it. I was so shocked by how thrilled I was. Just a weight, I just didn't have to worry about these silly things.
How are they going to handle this?
Yeah.
I've spent
yeah.
months obsessing over it. And I think, especially given that JJ is so predisposed to keep everything a secret and, you know, put not tricks, but, you know, layers in place to make you think something else, misdirects.
Yeah. It was very exciting to see that they, because again, it was something that was, obvious. I mean, his final line in the movie was, "See you around, kid." And so, it's very much planned or, intended in episode 8 that we're going to see him again. But at the same time, just with, the reaction, I'm so glad that they announced that Mark's back. Don't worry. Like Carrie will be playing Leia. Like it's not a it's not CG. It's not a recast. It is her, how she played the role. And then we're getting Billy Dee back, which I know everyone, like, I'm super excited about. And I'm pretty sure no one's more excited than Billy Dee, who's been slowly being like, please.
I'm ready.
I'm here.
I'll do it.
I really appreciate my voice for you on Rebels.
Like, yeah. I can do more.
And I think to Solo's credit, I'm more excited about Billy Dee coming back as Lando. I'm more hyped on Lando these days.
I especially am too after Last Shot. By Daniel Jose Aldrin.
I love like, Last Shot.
So good. And, you know, it's not quite Force Awakens timeline, but it's post Return of the Jedi timeline and getting like a taste of like a little bit, not older Lando, but he's like just been through more. And
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah. The, how do you think, because a lot of people have been talking about L3 and the Falcon and if it should be acknowledged, like if there should be something. My thoughts are chronologically, like if you go through how things happened in this real world, that we've already, like Lando's already seen the Falcon again a few times, like in Empire Strikes Back and in Return of the Jedi. So I would sort of find for something to be said now, like a little bit,
well, that would feel shoehorned in.
Yeah. And it's also, I don't know how much you want to focus on or how much you want to establish L3 is like, it's actually her in there, because then it gets kind of mean. Like it's, do you know what I mean? It's like, well, yes. you didn't like mention her in Empire or Jedi. Like if you watch when Lando first saw the Falcon in Empire, it wasn't like,
I want to hug you.
Yeah.
What the equivalent of that?
Yeah. Like, I think the farthest that they'll go personally is that they'll just do that thing men do with like boats, and they call her she. And he'll just be like, he'll just mention, it's like, oh, it's nice to see you, old girl, like to the Millennium Falcon. So people who know are like, but it sounds like something he would just do no matter what the context was. That's kind of just how I see them referencing her. I don't see it as a something they'll like pull any screen time for, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like that, like the thing with when people were trying to work out who's Rey's parents were and if it was Luke Skywalker. And it's sort of like, you got to come up with a scenario where Luke Skywalker isn't the biggest deadbeat dad in the galaxy.
Right. Like, how does this work?
Yeah. And so I think to really establish that's like her consciousness in the Falcon like that. And I don't know, how far have they gone with that in that Last Shot book? Did they?
They didn't
really come up a lot.
Yeah. Because it did come out before the movie. So it was like kind of spoiler territory, but you're right. Yeah. It doesn't really come up in the book. So I feel like it's something that they're just like, we know, but
we don't have to like,
yeah,
hang a hat on it or whatever. Yeah. Turn or wherever that saying is.
Yeah. Interesting. With the Leia thing and how they're going to have to, like, use these lines in a different way, do you think they should get some, like, Star Wars YouTubers to help? Because they're really good at taking the cast, like, things out of context.
Oh, my gosh.
All the internet.
They'd be really good at it.
They'd be really great.
They can make any of her unused lines mean anything.
That's very true.
Do you think, not to tangent or like to go into spoil,
how
not
spoiler, dare you?
Super theory. Is there any chance Leia could be a Force ghost?
I think because that, like the way they explain like Anakin becoming a Force ghost is that Obi-Wan and Yoda like pulled him over. So I think Luke would be like, come on, Leia, like you're coming with me. Oh, dropping the mic. So I think she could potentially become a Force ghost. I don't necessarily,
I don't know if that's what I want or need.
I wouldn't see that for like this movie, but for like the future and like other storytelling and books and stuff that might take place in the future, like after her character has passed, I could definitely see like Luke and Anakin, and especially Anakin being like, I'm sorry, I was the worst dad in the world. Let me help you become Force ghost.
Sorry about that black ball with the giant needle.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Among other things.
Might be, you know, like indirectly killing your mom. He's like,
Jimmy Smith.
Yipes.
I have no issue with her becoming a Force ghost, but I don't think for the footage they have, her being a Force ghost will work with whatever the things that she has to, like the things that are the dialogue.
Yeah.
So I think she has to be just chilling in a base for a couple of seconds. And
she'll probably just send people on like the big mission.
Yeah.
Be like, all right, guys, you have to go check out what's going on this planet. It's shady. And so, you know, she's there, but then the kids go do their scrappy thing.
It's those kids. It's a desert planet, guys. It's another desert planet. We've got to get there. I am. Do you think with the end, what are the chances? Like they say, it's the end of the Skywalker saga. Now, I have to say, my favorite lies is when I get told that this is the final movie in the Skywalker saga. I've been told twice in my life, and I believe them deeply. And then when I found out it was a lie, I was thrilled. So I wouldn't put it past them to lie to me again, and I encourage them to. But what do you think at the end of the film that Rey has taken on the name Skywalker?
I was like a Dread Pirate Roberts sort of thing.
Oh, what? Sorry?
Like Dread Pirate Roberts from Princess Bride. Like that. That's not his name, but...
Yeah, like... And I don't know if she would take it on or Ghost Luke would... Like, I'm not sure what's right on that. Like, if she should take it or it should be given to her. But it's just, like, she doesn't have a surname.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be sure good to have some more Skywalkers in other films. Because I always, like, when she first did, like, that Force Awakens panel at Anaheim with the Brez, and they had, you know, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley out there, and then they brought out the original cast. I was always like, and I asked John Boyega about this, but he sort of blew it off, but as he does any sort of deep question. If he, like, looked at them and just went, oh, that's, I'm going to be there doing this, like in 15, 25 years, whatever, it's going to be my turn to be like the returning cast member with the new thing. Like it would be so awesome if, and it sort of fits in with all the other like content that they have, you know, they can take like a 10 or 15 year break and come back with, you know, like the next generation and do it all again. Cause I'm up for more films. I want to say about that. But what like, you sort of think deeply about this stuff on your podcast. What do you think about her ending up a Skywalker?
I think it's a possibility. I don't necessarily think of her taking it on as a mantle, especially because she doesn't have like the best rapport with maybe Leia, but Leia's not like, she doesn't carry the Skywalker name. Because I could go on a 10-year monologue about how Ben's last name should be Organa. Hold on, guys. But and she didn't really have the best rapport with Luke and Anakin, obviously. So I'm not sure how much taking on the name would mean to her.
Yeah, I guess.
Especially like the Skywalker names. So, I mean, so they would do it so they could continue it on in that way. I could see that. But in terms of it meaning something to her, I'm not sure it would. I definitely want them to keep the door open for another trilogy. I wouldn't mind 9 being the last one. I think a beginning, middle, and the end is a nice satisfying like full circle. Mm-hmm. But I definitely wouldn't mind the movie ending happily, which means that, you know what, maybe in another like 15, 20 years, things go to crap again and there can be more movies.
To start over.
Yeah. So I'd like the potential to stay open. And I'm not sure Lucasfilm would completely want to shut the door on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is interesting, all the movies that have come out in the Disney era have all in a way had their spare share of tragedy. Like episode 7.
Rogue One was pretty cheerful.
You're right. I'm wrong. Rogue One was just like the feel-good movie of the year. And even Solo, which was supposed to be the more of the feel-good, it doesn't end happily. It's also kind of sad. So you just kind of, you want episode 9 to be like happy for everyone, and they fix things for the time being, and you think it's for good, but I wouldn't mind, you know, if it has to be a long time. Like, yeah. I don't want it to be in like 5 years. Yeah. It has to be in at least 15 years, but
yeah, give them a chance to go out and
yeah,
act their socks off and then, you know,
Come back.
Yeah.
Come back.
Emily, I'm going to check in with you in the chat room. Is anything going on? What are people thinking about the discussion? Any questions, any that sort of stuff?
Play off of your what the grand finale of this movie should be. We got a couple ideas of who should come back. Ian said that Nash should show up with Hondo and his whole pirate crew.
Oh my that gosh. Would be so good.
Yes.
Seth suggested that Wedge should show back up. Ooh. And personally, I'm hoping for some Cad Bane, which will never happen in the movie, but maybe on the new Clone Wars.
I hope in the new Clone Wars.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be really fun. Getting Wedge back, but hasn't he said he didn't want to come back? Has he changed his mind?
I don't know, he did for episode 7, but maybe since then, maybe he's been like, well...
Well, maybe.
Come on, Wedge.
Do it.
Pick up the pace, buddy. Pick up the pace. All right, thanks so much, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's hit the final couple of tweets. Jared, we have got one from John Boyega, which was actually from Instagram, John at John Boyega, and hugging the photo in his little, I don't know, what are they, Courtney? Are they braids or what? What's happening there?
Why are you asking me?
I don't know. Do you have hair?
I'm going to go with braids, okay. But I don't know.
Amy, are you offended that I didn't ask you about the braids?
No, that's
okay.
She has a braid.
I have a braid in my hair.
Okay, see?
I barely brushed mine today.
Okay. I'm not here to judge, but I see you with different hairstyles all the time with your cosplay. So
I would go with that, but I am not sure.
Okay. He says, welcome to the new world, Naomi Aki, with a big hug. And I have to say, I am impressed with that arm that he has.
Yes, we all should be.
I'm pretty sure that, like, this is why he posted this picture, because you don't even see like Naomi in it, but he was like, my arm looks so good.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Well, knowing John Boyega, he probably like just like sweat there, did like 10 push-ups, like got it pumping, and he was looking super buff.
Yeah.
Super buff. But super cool, like, do you know what I mean? There's like Suara was talking about like Star Wars rep matters, and it's awesome to have an African American woman announced in the initial cast.
Yeah,
yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes, which it's also like part of it for me is like I'm glad I don't have to ponder about Mark Hamill, and I'm glad for all the fans that don't have to ponder that like someone that represents them is going to be in the cast as well. Because quite often these casts come out and people are like, oh, it's a bit...
Oh, I still remember that with episode 7.
Yeah. And then other people on Twitter say, well, wait for them to announce other things. But it's like, just do it up front. No,
also, like, those people are usually... Not usually, I don't want to generalize, but are often from a privileged standpoint that don't have to wait for that news because they see themselves in everything.
Yeah. So that is super cool, both that she's in the show and that John Boyega is belittling my image of myself as a man with that arm. So, Courtney, flexing those guns. Nice. Buddy.
I'm not. Just nothing.
It almost drooped.
I know, it's sad. I've got like negative muscle.
Yeah, I don't have any of those. Yeah.
I tried lifting some weights today, some 5 pounders.
I had 5 pounds too, like little tumbles. Yes, me too.
Can't you tell?
I'm like, I did 10 reps with these. Oh,
I'm glad we had the same life. That was me this morning. There we go, 10. Got it.
Nailed it.
That was our fitness portion of the program, you guys. And a couple more tweets of things of note. Jared, we've got Jason Ward from Making Star Wars. He's got a rumor. Like, I don't know, you guys. It feels Star Wars is starting to film again. You know, we've got this cast back and Jason Ward's tweeting out rumors. It all seems well in the world, doesn't it?
Yes. We're back at it. I love it.
I actually, it does me. So 9 to film in Jordan, maybe. So, and that may be where they have started some secondary photography. And I believe they used Jordan for Rogue One. Jedha? Is that Jordan?
I don't remember. I was going to be like, no, I actually don't remember.
Well, in the article, Jason had, I think they were originally going to film Jakku in Jordan, and then Adadabi came through with, you know, better conditions or tax breaks or I don't know.
Offer.
Yeah. Well, so we've got, hey, our sand. It's the best on the planet. And we've got tons of it.
Like, because I want them to go back to Jakku just for the line where they have to tell Finn they're going back to Jakku.
Worth it.
It's just like for him to be like, oh my God.
He doesn't even notice it. He's just flexing at himself in the mirror.
And then he's like, where are we going, Paul? And he's like, oh yeah, we have to go back to Jakku. And then he just drops everything.
But I picture him, now I'm just thinking about him flexing, being like, hey, Rey. Look, Rey.
What about in the last with Luke Skywalker, this little farm boy from Tatooine, Jakku shaming?
Jakku shaming.
You know what? That's
the
right.
The goose has been gandered on that.
Well, Tatooine had the hut, so Tatooine kind of a big deal. I'm just saying.
And Car Plutt's nothing compared to
They had Nima Outpost. Nima was a hut. She's got an outpost named after her.
Oh, yay. Never mind.
Nima, you're messing up my excuses.
If they go back to Jakku, just for Heath, got to get Zuvio in there. Could you imagine? Oh. Could you imagine? Yeah, I don't know if you saw those photos.
They could pick up all the toys that didn't sell and be like, "What?"
Yeah, rebadge them. He had that. He had that cyst in his face, Heath. Yeah. I imagine like if Zuvio is actually in it, that will actually just continue to his head will just explode in the cinema. It's going to be amazing.
Zuvio, I won't lie though. I'm so glad he was cut from the movie because he creeps me out. Like that, he's too like Uncanny Valley for me.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I saw like the one still image of him, and like I never want to see you again. I'm so thankful you are not in this film.
So you were pretty glad when Toys R Us closed down.
Yeah, I was like, thank God, I never have to look at 500 of his Black Series again.
And our final tweet to wrap up our social media trip through Star Wars news is from Victoria Mahoney, who is the second unit director of Episode 9. And she tweeted something which I sort of think relates to Jason's tweet, which is hashtag old school, hashtag crew, hashtag 9. And it's a photo of her sweet Nokia.
Wow.
That apparently all the cast and crew, it's no camera phones on set.
Oh, I hadn't seen this before, and I was like, wow, that's got to be different. Like, is it a walkie-talkie? That's how long it's been since I've seen it. I am not young. I just forgot what that kind of phone looks like.
So I think it's really fascinating that Jason Ward's big scoop from Episode 9 might be just who had the top score on Snake.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I gotta know. Like last, like episodes 8, where they were playing like table tennis.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, John was really excited about the everyone trying to find a Pikachu, and now
Snake. It's all good.
It's a good game. It's a classic.
I'm just gonna check back with 614. If it just beeped, that probably means it's you. Are you on the line, or are you just chilling out?
G'day.
Hey, who are you?
My name's Jacob. I'm from Perth in Western Australia.
Hey, Jacob. What's going on over there?
Pardon?
I said,
sorry,
cutting out
a bit.
What's going on over there, man?
Not much. It's raining very heavily at the moment, but
wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
How are you?
I'm good, man. What did you make of this cast announcement? What are you most excited about?
I think I'm most excited about Carrie Fisher returning, but I just had a question for you guys.
Yeah, sure.
I was wondering if any of you are worried that a lot of Episode 9 might be fan wank, that they're going to really pander to quote-unquote real Star Wars fans.
What was the word that you just said?
Fandom wank.
Oh, fandom. Quote-unquote. Okay, wow.
Or fan wank.
Okay. I now regret asking for the clarification. I don't know. I definitely think when people say, like the tone's going to be different. The tone's going to be more upbeat. It's you know, it's Return of the Jedi after Empire. Do you know what I mean? So that it's going to be like more of a, it's wrapping things up. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think that should be,
yeah,
like I now, when anything happens in Star Wars, I work on my debunking the conspiracy theory interpretation of it.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that, like, that the happy ending, you know, like Billy Dee Williams, like it's all wrapped up sort of thing is like, oh, that's fan service or this, that or the other. But it's like chapter three. It has so, to yeah, be like that.
It follows the, it's what things when people, I get frustrated when they're like, but it's just the same. It's like, yeah, because it all follows a, and it's not the same one. There are differences, but it follows a rhythm. It follows a poetry of Star Wars. Mm. And I, you know, there are certain things like that that I want to see in episode nine.
Mm. Yeah, so I don't know. I really, like, to be honest, and going back on what I know, is J.J. Abrams had written the script just after he had... No, he pitched the story just yeah. as episode eight came out. And then I did hear he did a revision, but I don't know how in-depth that was or, you know, what it related to. I kind of think it's just like you then watch the film a bunch of times and you're like, hey.
You know, tighten this thing up.
Yeah. Because I'm never comfortable with the writing the script before the film sort of come out.
I'm baffled by their process on this where it seems so many things were in the state of flux between the films, or that they didn't sit down with episode seven and be like, well, we know who Ray's parent, like we know yeah. these big beats, like let people map it out. And that didn't seem to happen.
Yeah.
Which feels super odd to me and not problematic, but could lead to it being disjointed.
Yeah. And people often say that, you know, like George Lucas made it up on the fly, which he made stuff up on the fly, but he had an end thing, and it sort of was like a fluid thing of, oh, I've got this idea, but I'm still traveling to this end big, you know, like the Return of the Jedi battle and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then of course, you know, things like, you know, the Darth Vader and Leia being the sister, they came up along the way, but he sort of, I don't know, it's sort of, I'd rather one person do it on the fly than a bunch of people do it on the fly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, what do you think, Jacob? How do you think it's going to go? And please, don't use that word again.
I think I am a little worried that I'm looking forward to seeing Lando, and I want to see Ghost Luke Skywalker, but I am a little scared that they will go overboard with nostalgia to try and sort of repair a bit of the relationship that The Last Jedi had with a few people. I love The Last Jedi, it's great, but yeah, I hope they don't. A little bit is good, so you can sort of reel in the old fans and like have just enough fresh ideas to have the new fans sort of interested in the story. But with J.J. Abrams, and I think Force Awakens is brilliant and it is my favorite Star Wars movie, but there is a lot of fan wank in that as well.
I asked. Yeah, oh my God, Jacob. I thank you for your call, and we'll continue this discussion because I'm too scared that you're going to say it again, you loose-lipped man out there in Perth. Oh yeah. Thanks so much for your call, Jacob. I want the fan service to be for people that got into the original trilogy, people that got into the sequel trilogy, and people that got into the prequel trilogy. I want something to happen. I want things to be referenced. I want, like...
I would love some prequel trilogy references. I would love a reference to Padme. Like, what I would give for just a reference to Padme and some other, like, prequel stuff. I mean, I guess they, like, have briefly acknowledged the prequels and... like some script patterns, but like in The Force Awakens when Kylo mentions the clone army. But I also feel like Padme, please just talk about her. Don't just erase her from this.
Remember how shocking it was that they mentioned clones? I remember just like going, whoa.
I was like, I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love, like, I want Ghost Hayden.
I want that. Oh yeah, so
I want
hard.
That so badly.
Because yeah, and I know you've got to focus on the new cast, but I just like to have Ghost Anakin and Ghost Luke able to have a conversation or an argument or something is like if you
that's like I would be ugly sobbing if yes. like if in Ghost Luke maybe being like interacting with like Leia somehow even like all three of them somehow being able to interact with Leia like I would be a wreck.
That's what I mean, like if you come in with this amazing scene that's like acted killer, it's written killer with Hayden and Mark Hamill, then you're going to enriching every Star Wars film. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? People yeah. are going to like, I love things that like make you want to go back and watch that
like
film.
Recontextualize it.
Yeah. Yeah. And sort of like accept it that there's these three other films. They're a huge part of the series and we're wrapping it up for now.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm, my hopes are very high and I'm very excited that, as you know, that was sort of their buzzword for the Force Awakens was what will delight us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to have myself delighted.
Do your best.
I want to be yeah. I'm really up for some delight, and yeah. Who can blame me? Emily Lind, you got anything to wrap up with in the chat room over there, buddy?
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about locations and like places that we'd want to be in. Paul would really like to see Mustafar, maybe Kylo, like doing a pilgrimage there. And that brings what I think is an interesting point, which is do you think we'll see Tatooine again and will it like sort of come full circle from the original trilogy and we go back there or... are we never going back there again?
Oh, I'd be okay with going back there.
Yeah, that like that's a good point that like we started out there. It'd be interesting to sort of like end it there. Yeah, I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah, I don't know how it would work, but yeah.
And I wouldn't mind a Mustafar cameo either. But again, on my like Padme run, I want Naboo. Come on. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Emily, thanks so much for monitoring the chat room for us, and thanks for everyone there. Let the good people of the internet know where they can catch your awesome podcast.
It is called the Canto Bite Dispatch. I do it with my friend Brittany Brown, and you can find it on SoundCloud and iTunes and all of those lovely places, and we're on Twitter at Canto Bite Pod.
Awesome, buddy. I will I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Cheers. And Brittany Brown from the Kenobite Dispatch, she was all over our San Diego Comic-Con coverage, so you haven't gone back. If you want to experience Courtney, I made this for you.
I appreciate it. I watched a few of the toy videos because I really like toys.
It's like you were there. You're like, you're sitting next to me in the
panel.
I know,
I got to go through Hasbro, like yeah, that. It was great.
Okay, well, that's I'm doing it for people like you that can't make the 2-hour journey to San Diego.
I got the flu the day before. I was actually because I had a friend with an extra ticket and I was going to go, but then I got the flu the day before and it's not worth it.
Well,
for everybody else,
yes. They also thank you for not bringing yeah. to Comic Con.
The yeah. So if you want to catch up on San Diego Comic Con, all the things that went down, interviews with people I bump into around the con, check that out at steelwars.com, and there's some videos up as well. Now, Courtney,
yes,
who talked first by the Knights of Rant?
Yeah.
I think I just did your plug for you, but what do you talk about? I love the show.
Oh, thank you. I am a host of the podcast Who Talks First, and we kind of do a lot of like deep dives and theory and speculation and just talking about what we love about the franchise a lot, but I do it with my best friend. And so I think I'm hilarious. So, I think it's just kind of like a dumb, stupid podcast. Our most famous episode is an episode where we go through and like assign each Star Wars character an ABBA song.
And that is our most listened to podcast.
What?
Yep.
I need to go and listen to it.
Yeah, just so you know. This is our most controversial episode yet. And we've kind of been just now known as like the Star Wars / ABBA podcast now.
Nice.
It's not a bad thing to be known as. But yeah.
Well, it's kind of like why I like it, because you talk about Star Wars so differently to how I do. So I always enjoy the way you like go through it.
I think it's because it's always so interesting to me, because I almost like didn't know there was other ways to talk about Star Wars than the way like we did it. So like coming on like this show and listening to your show, I was like, it was just interesting to hear how other podcasts work, because I would get that comment a few times about our show, about it being different from other things, and I'm like, how else do people talk about Star Wars?
Are we doing?
Am I doing something wrong here?
ABBA is never wrong.
Yeah, ABBA's never wrong, guys.
Like, it's the whole Reylo thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand, like, I can understand that people want them to get together and people that don't. What I never can grasp is why people are so passionate about it. Like, it's like unspeakable to disagree with either side about their thoughts about it. I don't understand
I've been in the shipping game for a long time.
What era? What era?
So many years.
For I don't know, since I was like 13.
Lost is the first time I heard of it. And there was like the Jaders and the Caders. Lost.
Oh, Lost.
Because there was like Jack and Kate.
Avatar the Last Airbender is when,
okay.
Is when my shipping days began. And it is really interesting, because I mean, I'm enthusiastic about it. That is for sure. But I never understood why people like it. It's never been this bad about like violently disagreeing with opinions to the point where like really, really awful things are being said and threatened and shoved at each other, where people are just like afraid to talk about things that they like. And I don't think that, especially when it comes to fiction, I don't think that should ever be the case. The people who are angry and hate everything are less afraid than the people who want to express their love. Like even with The Last Jedi, a lot of people were afraid of talking about The Last Jedi because there's people searching the tags.
Just waiting.
Exactly. And
not the people searching the tags, people who were afraid to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, there was shippers who, like Jewish shippers who were being sent pictures of the Holocaust, who were being told that, that they deserve this. Like it's.
Whoa. For hoping that Rey and Kylo.
For Reylo stuff. Yeah. And I think that's why it might have gotten to the defensive point that it is. Cause it has gotten pretty, like, unfortunately, In niche circles, obviously. Yeah. It's not wide. It's not like everyone, but it's gotten really, really awful. There was an account set up that would steal like shippers' selfies, and they would post them and make fun of them. Like, they dedicated a whole website to this. I mean, it was taken down by like, luckily.
Yeah.
But it's...
That's intense and just awful.
It's really weird. And obviously it's just like not a huge group that is doing this, but it's large enough that I don't personally understand it. And I think that's just kind of why it has gotten so defensive, because even if people are just like, it's not for me, people are kind of get on the defensive at they're kind of afraid that they're being attacked, which I know that like that they're not, but it's just
their history. Says.
Their history. Yeah. It's just kind of like oh God, I have to put up my fist because I've dealt with this before.
Yeah, but that's a common thing on Twitter, because I get like a lot of people that disagree with me on Twitter, and they would like to let me know, and I appreciate that. But like, for instance, today I was tweeting about that you were going to be on the show, and someone wrote back like, "Be a good boy, Steele," and it was a reference to what you say about Kylo Ren, and I was sort of like wrote back question mark, because I'm like, without context, I don't know what.
I didn't get it either for a second.
But like, because I don't understand it, I'm like, oh, is this dude?
Like, you don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it. Like, because I have people like getting mad at me over such silly things. So I'm like, is this another one? Or I just don't get the reference. Thankfully, I just didn't get the reference.
Yeah. And I mean, he was referencing like, just to fill people in on like this kind of like, he's a good boy thing that me and my co-host often say. And it just kind of. Because so often people like me who really do love Kylo's character arc and find and actually like relate to it in a lot of ways, people will always have to come in and be like, you know that he killed his father, right? And so like what? I guess I didn't watch The Force Awakens. Like clearly we know.
I fell asleep during that.
Yeah. Oh, what? I'm shocked. So it's kind of like this like sarcastic joke being like, he's never done anything wrong in his life. I don't know what you guys are talking about. And it gets people so riled up. And I guess that's kind of like our fault. But so many people think when you relate to a character that's done bad things that you don't think they're bad things. And I'm like, no, not everybody sees themselves as a hero. You know, a lot of people really relate to like self-sabotage, which I think Kylo is the master of.
Yeah.
I for sure do. I'm like, oh man, I've ruined everything in my life as well.
Yeah.
By my own fault.
And before the show, she like smashed her laptop. It was awesome.
It's true.
It was really cool.
Yeah,
it's
like Steel's wall is gone. Ripped a whole bunch of holes in it.
Because I'm used to the whole thing with like when the discourse like started about like that people didn't like the Disney Star Wars films, especially with The Last Jedi. I was always like, oh, but how do you have this much energy to not like how is a film how can you invest so much time into not liking a, like how is this your die on sort of thing?
Like, what is your
and then
life?
Yeah, when with the Reylo thing, I was sort of like, I was dying to ask you because I was like, I don't get why people are so like revved up about it to this degree where they're
truly either do I. I think everyone can just enjoy what they want to enjoy. And I think a lot of shipping may come from relating to characters. And maybe so they feel like, because we ship different things or we want the ship to happen, that it's a like clash and insulting of like your personality mm-hmm. or like the way that you think. So, I mean, because I've even admitted it at times where when people say really nasty stuff to me, and I'm just like, you're not just insulting something that I like in fiction. You're insulting the way my brain works. Mm-hmm. And so it's that, I think that's where it starts getting like
it's personal. And people, yeah. Yeah.
It becomes personal. Like even if it's not intended to be really quick.
Well, I don't know. If you disagree with Courtney shipping, I've got bad news for you because she called the false connection in The Last Jedi. She called Carrie Fisher's role in episode 9. So
I'm on such like a like vision like role right now, and I don't want to break it because I've gone like for a really long time on a really good streak. And so I'm just like, oh man,
I don't want to be your cool up.
I'm like, oh man, so what's gonna happen next? I'm gonna say it here first, and it's gonna happen.
You have such power.
Yeah, I mean, I clearly like Reylo, so but yeah, it's just been a long few years, and especially like in the beginning with just the TFA, a lot of the people like the way it came about was the Force Bond was like, oh, this Force Bond's happening, they're going to be able to communicate, and that's just what we like what our part of the community just they saw that as like that's what's going to be the future of this saga. We think that's going to happen. And that was like a week after TFA came out. And so it does actually like really surprise me that like so many people were surprised that we got it right. Because we were like, we knew that a week after that was going to happen. I mean, people wrote essays, like 20, 30,000 word essays being like, this is why this is going to happen. Why it makes sense, like story-wise, what the pattern of it in Star Wars is. And yeah, so it was just really interesting that so many people were like, what? Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I was spending all that time trying to come to terms with Leia not hugging Chewie. That was
I guess I was definitely, that was my first criticism coming out of the movie the first time. I was like, why?
Walked right past.
Especially when that shot so it could have been so easily fixed by just not having Chewie in it.
Yes.
Like, you just don't have Chewie in it. There you go.
Still, never forget.
Yeah.
Forget. And I'm always... The one thing I like about it is that JJ said, oh, no, we just messed up. I don't want to hear anything about the Wookiee mourning process. I don't want to...
props for that.
I don't want any... Just a good old, I messed up. I don't want to hear about who, like, what space alien ate the homework.
Yeah.
awesome film and you messed up that crucial bit that would have been one of the most tenderest moments in the Star Wars saga.
But whatever.
Just if you need someone to watch that episode 9-1 to filter out those mistakes, I'm here. Now, Amy.
Yes.
I don't even know the gamut of pods that you have, but you've got your awesome podcast, Lattes with Leia.
Just the one right now. Yeah, Lattes with Leia.
And then the book?
And the book, Star Wars Women of the Galaxy.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
What's your favorite page?
Oh, you know, actually, I just was looking at page numbers recently. I don't remember what the page was, and I don't remember.
You don't remember what page Mara Jade's on?
I don't remember which character has been announced for sure. So all of them are my favorites.
Nice. We're on the cusp of some heavy book spoilers right now. Jared, thank you so much for your time. And you can be heard on podcast 2187.
Yes, every Tuesday or just about every Tuesday on the Making Star Wars podcast network.
Nice. And we enjoyed you over Comic-Con.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun getting to hang out with you guys.
Jared, everyone, we share a big condo at San Diego every year. And Jared is my Comic-Con sunrise. When I wake on the couch and I look up to the balcony, he's always out on the balcony. It just is taking things in. And
about half the time I've not slept at all. The other half of the time I've just gotten up like a minute before you did.
Yes. But he
made him sleep on the balcony, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Very tight for space. Very tight for space. He's a big part of my Comic-Con tradition. Thanks so much. I hope you guys had a good time.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be back for another Hyper Chat. It'll be Monday the 13th, back to our Monday timeline. And next week, we'll have an interview episode of Steel Wars. Thank you guys so much. And may that force be with you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
If you're after more Star Wars listening, please check out the Making Star Wars podcast network at makingstarwars.net, where you can find such great podcasts as Blue Harvest, First Order Transmissions, Idiots Array, Making Star Wars Now This Is Podcasting, Podcast 2187, Rebel Girl, Rogue One, Tarkin's Top Shelf, The Cargo Hold, and The Sith List. So that's planetbroadcasting.com and makingstarwars.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.